name's Ryan Miller, and for the past 15 years, I've helped hundreds of people to raise millions of dollars for their funds and for their startups. If you're serious about raising money, launching your business, or taking your life to the next level, this show will give you the answers so that you too can enjoy your pursuit of making billions. Let's get into it.
With billions on the line, when was the last time you bet against the market and won? My next guest is ready to do just that. He's the former Deputy Chief Investment Officer at Bridgewater and the current CEO at Unlimited. It's an investment firm that takes the best trading strategies and packages them into ETFs for the everyday investor. So the question is, how are you building your investment systems so that you can enjoy your pursuit of making billions? Let's get into it. Hey, welcome to another episode of Making Billions. I'm your host, Ryan Miller, and today I have my dear friend, Bob Elliott. Bob is the former Deputy Chief Investment Officer at Bridgewater, one of the largest hedge funds in the world. Currently, he is the CEO and co-founder at his new fund, Unlimited. He is highly sought after for his in-depth knowledge of markets and frequently appears on world-renowned publications such as CNBC, Bloomberg, and more. So what this means is Bob understands how to position your capital the right way so you can massively improve your trading strategies while making billions. So Bob, welcome to the show, man.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here. Have enjoyed a couple of your previous programs following up on Christoph earlier this year. So hopefully I can hold up to his standard. Definitely looking forward to it.
Yeah, Christoph was phenomenal. And, you know, we've been very fortunate to be in the top 2%, over 100 countries in the world, all because of amazing guests like you and Christoph and many, many more. So we're very, very fortunate to have someone of your caliber to come on, talk about economics, trading strategies. We're going to get into it, folks. So we got Bob on the line and we're going to pick his super brain. You know, just really quick, can you give me just a lead in on Unlimited and just 30 seconds? What is Unlimited? What kind of trouble you guys getting yourselves into these days?
Yeah, I mean, my career was, you know, it's been 20 years as a systematic investor. As you mentioned, I was at Bridgewater Associates, the world's largest hedge fund, for quite a while. And after 15 years there, I decided to leave and start to think about how could I make those sort of hedge fund style strategies available to the everyday investor. You know, the investor that doesn't have tens of millions of dollars to be able to put in a hedge fund strategy. And that's what we've been doing at Unlimited. We're using technology to replicate what hedge funds, how they're positioned, and then packaging that in investor-friendly structures like ETFs so that every investor can get access to those strategies, whether you have $20 or $20 million.
That is amazing. And we've talked a little bit about that as we've gotten to know each other, Bob. But not everybody is at your level or my level. Some people are just starting out, just like us when we were young and a little less gray hair. I mean, you look good. I'm getting some gray hair.
Those days.
Yeah. So let's hit them between the eyes, my man. So for beginners that are starting out in this industry, like what are some ways that you can get some points on the board and just win a little bit, but also how do you cover your downside as a beginner in this industry? I'm curious of your perspective here.
Well, I think one of the things I'd emphasize to start out with is I started in the investment management business with no formal training. I was actually a botanist by academic training before I started at Bridgewater. And so in many ways, I was in the shoes that, you know, many folks who are listening to this podcast are in today, which is, you know, no formal training on how markets and investing and economies work. And so I think one of the key things that I learned in terms of coming up the curve is really thinking hard, using the markets as a lens to understand how the global macroeconomy and, you know, the market linkages work. So every day, just think about it, the global macroeconomy is like a huge complex system, all sorts of things going on, demand, supply, inflation, growth, all these different concepts that are around. But what you can start to do as the everyday investor is you can start to look at what's happening with macroeconomic information that's coming out and what's happening in markets, because markets really are that lens into what's going on, stock market, bond market, gold, commodities, all those different markets, currencies, they all sort of give you a lens into what's happening in the global macroeconomic system. And so by studying markets on a daily basis and trying to rationalize and understand what's driving what you're seeing, you can really start to build those intuitions from scratch about how things work.
Brilliant. And what are some of those areas? So learning markets, finding the linkages. I remember in my early days, just literally I would leave CNBC in the background and hopefully something would make sense eventually. And it did, actually. I remember the first aha moment. You use the word linkages. Some people say correlations in the market, saying when X happens, do Y trade kind of thing. And so the first thing was, what happens to the economy when there's a huge surge in oil prices? I never forgot this. I was like, wait, oil is kind of an important thing. Like to us, that's very obvious. But when you're literally starting out, as you start to learn the linkages and correlations on economics, you really start to understand, especially in trading, you really understand to say, okay, if I think interest rates are going to go up, well, I understand linkages. If I think oil is going to go up, I understand linkages or down. And you understand that when X happens, Y happens. What are some of those areas, maybe a website or anything that you can recommend that you can give people who are starting out just to really get oriented to understanding these correlations?
Yeah, I mean, I think most important, there's so many free resources that you can go out there. You don't need to buy a Bloomberg for $36,000 a year to get access to the sort of markets information that you need in order to start to build that intuition. I'd say one of the easiest and most direct ways you can do this is first, I think tradingeconomics.com is a free resource that gives you a really good lens into what macroeconomic stats are coming out. And in particular, it tells you what is the consensus expectation relative to what transpired to help you build that intuition about, you know, how are the stats surprising relative to the market's expectations. And then frankly, resources like Yahoo Finance basically give you, you know, as much data and information as you need. And in particular, what I'd say is one of the easy ways to track things is actually through the lens of ETFs. The ETF world covers basically every major financial asset that's out there that you might be interested in. So find a collection of ETFs, you know, one for the bond market, one for the stock market, one for gold, oil, et cetera. And you can start to track these ETFs, and these ETFs and their returns on a daily basis are the sorts of things that you can very easily see what's going on in the market as a result of those macroeconomic stats. So it's something really anyone can do. It's totally free. You can start to get on the field and really understand what's going on.
All right. Spoken from a true master himself saying, look, if you're just starting out, here's a place to begin, right? If anybody tells you that, especially with Bob's background, you probably want to listen. I know I certainly am, and I love it. And I've checked out Trading Economics even while you're speaking. So yes, I'm paying attention, doing two things at once, you know. But, you know, that being said, all seriousness, how do beginners not lose? How do they cover their downside? What are some simple things that you've seen that you can recommend to people just starting out? And then we can move on to the markets after that.
Well, I think one of the key things, part of the building of the intuition as a beginner is observing the markets and trying to understand those linkages. Another key thing to develop that understanding, frankly, is putting a little bit of money on the line, money that you're comfortable with possibly losing in order to start to develop those intuitions. Because there's nothing better than putting money on the line thinking, for instance, maybe you think bonds are going to sell off because oil prices just went up. Right. And you put that bet on in the markets and you might be right or you might be wrong. And one of the beautiful things about putting some money on the line is that it quickly enforces fast learning. I mean, I can even to this day, 20 years in this business, remember painful market losses that I had back in 2005 when I first started trading markets, right? In the natural gas market. You know, that still sticks with me today. And that's really how you accelerate your learning. Now, the important thing is just do it in a scale where it's used for learning, but not going to create an economic hardship if you get things wrong. Because as an early trader, I promise you, you're going to get lots of things wrong. That education is invaluable, but it shouldn't put you into uncertain economic circumstances while you're doing it.
Brilliant. And do you have a risk threshold that you would recommend for people? You know, you and I were bouncing that beanbag back and forth on VAR and all these different things. Is there a total minimum loss that you think, hey, here's your floor. Don't risk more than this. Any quick metrics that you can provide?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. As a professional investor, you're constantly thinking about what's the max loss I can take and still continue to be able to manage money. And the reality is the same is true even for a small-scale individual investor. Say you're investing $1,000 or $500 on Robinhood. It's the same exact circumstance. And so you might think, well, hey, if I want to do this over time to develop that intuition over the course of years, I need to be able to put myself in a position where I'm not losing so much money on any one trade where I can't stick to it over the course of a couple of years. And so I think that's kind of the idea, like making sure that, you know, even in a meaningfully bad outcome, you're not losing more than 25% of your money over the course of a year is kind of how, you know, that's actually mostly what institutional investors target, at least prudent ones, I should say. And I think it's actually a good rule of thumb for the everyday investors that are getting on the field, you know, investing and thinking about markets.
Brilliant. I love it. So let's shift into the markets. You know, anyone saying tradingeconomics.com may have his finger on the pulse a little bit, just a switch. No, all seriousness, I'm excited about this part. So the market, I'm just curious from your perspective, what's going on out there? What are you seeing?
Well, I think in many ways, what we've set up here is markets that are pricing in basically an all-in bet on the soft landing. Now, for those of you who are tracking the macroeconomy and markets, you know, there's been this big debate. Are we going to have a soft landing, a hard landing? Some people have talked about no landing. With the basic idea, the basic question is, can we have inflation come down closer to the Fed's target without having a meaningful slowing of economic conditions? That's the soft landing camp, right? A hard landing would be that economic conditions, growth would slow down a lot relative, you know, in order to bring inflation down. And so I think when you look at market pricing, it really is a lens into how people are netting out in terms of their expectations of what's likely to transpire. And I think today when you scan across markets, you know, I really see an all-in bet on soft landing. So if you look at stocks, they're really not that far off of highs, particularly when you consider the fact that bond yields have risen considerably, which should have a negative impact on the stock price. And you look at bonds, which, you know, continue to price in relatively low expectations. Inflation. Oil prices are very low, actually. They're about as low on a real basis as they've been in a very long time. And the Fed's priced in to cut 100 basis points over the course of 2024, which really is Goldilocks. Not so much, so many cuts that it would be indicative of a real growth slowdown, but cutting a little bit as inflation is expected to fall. So you listen to all that and you sort of say, ooh, all in. The markets are basically saying we're definitely having a soft landing where growth is super strong and inflation comes down and the Fed eases a little bit and everything is perfect. And the odds that that happens are, they're not zero, but they're certainly not 100% the way it's priced into markets today.
Okay, so what I'm hearing is that even though the market has priced in what it's priced in, it sounds like you may have an alternative opinion or perspective on that. I'm just curious, where do you see the markets going from what you're looking at now?
Yeah, well, I think a lot of the things that I'm focused on is how it might be more challenging to achieve that soft landing scenario than I think many people or the markets expect. If you look back through time, beating inflation once you've already had a high inflationary period without a slowdown in growth is actually quite challenging. Very, very rarely does that occur. And so what that means from a market's perspective is that in order to bring inflation down to the Fed's mandate, odds are we're going to have weaker economic conditions than are currently priced into the equity market, which would be bad for stocks. And then on the flip side, we probably need to have tighter monetary policy than is currently priced into the short rate markets, where the Fed holds higher for longer than those 100 basis points of cuts priced in to 2024. And so you put that together, it's actually probably not a great environment for both stocks and bonds. And I know a lot of folks have already felt the pain of 60-40 underperforming over the course of the last 18 to 24 months. But until we bring inflation back durably to the Fed's target, we're unlikely to see that 60-40 portfolio perform anywhere near as well as it has, you know, over the course of the last couple of decades.
You know, I'm hearing that a lot, that the 60-40 split may need to be reconsidered, or maybe at least our affinity for the 60-40 split may need to lessen in order to adapt to the current market cycle. So brilliantly said, brother. So as we round third base and we're bringing it home, I'm just curious, from all of your wisdom, all of your experience, what are about, say, three things that you could leave behind for our guests from your perspective in this industry, just to give them some competitive advantages?
Well, I think a couple things come to mind. You know, the first one is that you have to have non-consensus ideas. That, I think, is a really important thing when you're thinking about financial markets, which is the basic idea that, you know, just like we talked about, in order to understand what's likely to transpire, right, in order to make money in markets, you have to have a view that's different from what's priced in. And so what you have to be constantly doing is looking at what's priced into the markets, thinking carefully about what's likely to occur, and then comparing those two things in order to come to a view. All too often, people basically just repeat what the consensus thinking is about what's happening in financial markets, rather than thinking about where the pricing is wrong, because it's really that gap between what's likely to happen and where pricing is. That's where what we call alpha, which is, that's where you get outperformance relative to simply passive investing. And so that's a critical thing to constantly keep in mind as you're thinking about investing and trading markets.
Awesome. I love it. When it comes down to, you know, I can see you're very disciplined and you have a very disciplined approach, and some of the best traders are. And one of those things comes into developing systems. I'm wondering if you could talk a little bit about developing a trading system.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Are you tired of feeling lost in the world of trading and investing? Get informed and inspired with the Talking Trading Podcast. I'm Louise Bedford, and I'll help you navigate the markets like a pro. Tune in each week and subscribe now at talkingtrading.com.au or on your favourite podcast app, or check out the link in the show notes. Talking Trading, this is how traders excel.
Yeah, well, I mean, in terms of the other thing, another one to definitely highlight in terms of lessons learned is thinking systematically. You know, I think all too often, a lot of us have ideas, you know, intuitions about what's likely to transpire in markets, how the world works, et cetera. And I think one of the challenges is there's really two challenges as an investor. One is assessing whether your ideas are actually good. And that's where systemization, that idea of basically taking the idea and checking to see if back through time, that was a good idea or not, and whether that would be a good way to trade markets or not through more sample size is really beneficial. And then the other thing that people often fail at when they're investing is that they're insufficiently disciplined. And this isn't like a moral judgment. Trading markets is super hard. There's a lot of information coming out at you at any point in time. And it's frankly hard to process all that information in a way that's rigorous. And so one of the things you can do is write down your rules. Say, if I see this happen, and I know that it's a good idea, then I will go do this other thing. If I see, you know, the stock market go down below the 200-day moving average, then I'll do, you know, then I'll short the stock market. Let's just say that's a plausible rule that you could do. Well, there's always going to be information coming at you that might knock you off your course. But if you have discipline through systemization, you can more rigorously adhere to the rules or the approaches that you know will work over time. And that will help you outperform. That will help you succeed in your investment strategies through time.
Yeah, I love it. And you know what? This actually ties into your earlier comment when you're talking about trading economics and really understanding the linkages. And just like I talked about in the early days, I think I'd been in school for like 5 seconds at university. And when you need that exposure, there's a lot of information. That's what excited me about finance is you're never going to learn it all. It's literally an endless stream of constant self-improvement and learning. So you're never going to get bored in high finance. But one of the things that you talked about is understanding those linkages. And then maybe you keep me honest here, Bob, but maybe then you go from understanding linkages to understanding patterns. And arguably those are pretty close and similar, but you have different patterns, like we talked about the Golden Cross and these different things, and learning those patterns also help to implement systems patterns. So not only just is it information, it's patterns, it's technical analysis. We can go way into that. Would you say all of those things go in, and does that encapsulate a lot what you're talking about on building trading systems?
Yeah, I mean, the core to being a good trader is to have a game plan. A game plan that you think over time will deliver edge relative to passive investing. And so the way that you can get the best out of your game plan, the best out of your edge, is by being systematic and disciplined about your edge and trying your best as much as you possibly can to not have, you know, the emotions of the day or the information of the day necessarily knock you off of what your game plan is. Because when you have that, you're likely to succeed over time. And I know it's hard. This is not to say, oh, we, you know, every person, it's just so easy, right? You just create a system and you do it. I mean, I've been doing this for 20 years and I still feel that tension, that emotional tension of whether or not the incremental information I'm seeing should change my mind, should take me off of my game plan. But I promise you over time, it will lead to better outcomes the more disciplined you are.
Man, brilliant. So build trading systems, that's number one. And those go into understanding correlations, understanding patterns, technical analysis, a lot of these things. It's just saying you need to be disciplined and that discipline needs to apply to a system. That's not just trading, folks. That's all investing. I know whatever asset class you're in, you really need to be disciplined in your approach, challenge yourself, have people that'll disagree with you. But before I get too ahead of myself, how important is it on, say, diversity as far as being a good investor, particularly in your world?
Yeah, well, I think it connects to another critical point, which is part of the connection to discipline is also recognizing that you're going to be wrong a lot. Like even the very best, I'm saying the people who are the absolute very best in this business are only right 55-45 on any one trade in any one month. So what that means is 45% of the time you're going to be wrong, right? And so one of the ways to deal with that, and that's the practical reality, like you can't get better than that. So it's not worth trying to be like, well, I think I'm smarter than the, you know, most sophisticated asset managers in the world, right? Except that that's, you know, that's a good winning percentage. And so one of the things that you want to do given that is you want to improve your your overall portfolio through diversification. And all diversification is, it's a really simple idea. It can sound very complex, but it's basically saying, look, if you have an edge, if you have a 55-45 edge, well, then what you want to do is you want to put as many bets on the table as you can, because every time you take that bet, what happens is you probably will win. And if you just take one bet, you know, the odds that you do all right are only so good. But if you do that over 10 bets, or if you do it over 20 or 100 bets, if you do it through time, right, you get that diversification through time, that will really help you make the most of whatever edge you have in the market.
Man, brilliant. So we've talked about trading systems. We've talked about diversification. What would be a third leave behind that you can leave for our fans around the world?
Yeah. I mean, I think the last thing I'd say is that the best traders in the world that I talk to are sort of relentlessly curious about how they could be wrong. And that is in the world, people are often benefited by having consistency in a way of thinking, right? They in a position. So you're a politician, right? You're like, I have the strong view on X, Y, and Z, and I will be consistent in that view. And in markets, that will kill you, right? What you want to do, because as you said, you know, markets are a constantly learning and evolving game, right? You constantly have to learn and adapt and understand and evolve and recognize that you're wrong and change when you recognize that you're wrong in a certain position or a certain dynamic. And so part of the way that the best traders operate is that they have this sort of relentless curiosity about how they could be wrong. They seek alternate views, right? Not in a, I'm going to have a debate with the person, but in a genuine, open-minded, how could I be wrong? What could I learn from those alternative views? And so you see that process. And in some ways, like one of the best ways to enable that in your day-to-day operation of trading of whatever is for every trade that you do where you have all of the reasons why you're very long, you know, you're very confident in your view, write down the reasons why you could be wrong. Because what that'll allow you to do is as you put that bet on through time, what you can see is, are things happening closer to what I would consider me, you know, making this trade wrong? Or are they closer to what I expected in order to make the trade right?
So I've heard you say before in the past that when you're challenging yourself and you're trying to make sure whether you're right or wrong, and one of the questions, the power question I thought was so important, I don't want to skip past that, is what are some things that could happen that would prove my current position wrong? And by asking that, I thought, brilliant question. That is a great way to frame up and just challenge your view of the world, is to say, well, what would need to happen? So like you said in the beginning, inflation is priced for a soft landing. Great. What would need to happen if that was wrong? How would we turn that into a hard landing, and how would you trade around that? So I thought that was a powerful question. So thank you for that. So as we wrap things up, is there anything at all that you'd like our fans to know?
You know, when I think about becoming a great investor, it really starts with a single step, right? Just getting on the field, really getting into it, you know, taking that leap, right? Like as I said 20 years ago, I didn't know anything about how to invest, how the macroeconomy worked, how markets worked. And so the key to developing that understanding is really getting out there, tracking and understanding what's happening in the economy, what's happening in markets, and going through that iterative process. That's the way you're going to learn. There's no textbook, there's no course, there's no, you know, easy way to cheat your way into that understanding. It's really about going through that process day in, day out. And when you do that, what you see is that it's incredible how much you can grow and learn about investing and markets and macro. It's totally accessible out there for you. And frankly, pretty much all for free.
I love it. Awesome. So, you know, just to synthesize everything that Bob and I have talked about, focus on building your trading system. Understand the market linkages, the correlations, the patterns. Really dive in and start your research there if you're starting out. And if you're still inexperienced, well, it still applies to you, right? It's always changing. It's like trying to nail jelly to the wall. The second thing that he mentioned is diversify your portfolio just to reduce your downside risk. So understand, also think about those areas of saying maybe there's over concentration risk, right? So, which is literally why you diversify. So am I overly exposed on interest rates? Am I overly exposed on tech? Am I overly exposed to supply chain interruptions because we've got this rare lithium mine that it takes it from? Whatever it is, really examine and diversify, because anything can happen. And finally, constantly challenge your perspectives and seek out others who will do the same. You do these things and you too will be well on your way in your pursuit of making billions. Wow, what a show. I hope you enjoyed this episode as much as I did. Now, if you haven't done so already, be sure to leave a comment and review on new ideas and guests you want me to bring on for future episodes. Plus, why don't you head over to YouTube and see extra takes while you get to know our guests even better. And make sure to come back for our next episode where we dive even deeper into the people, the process, and the perspectives of both investors and founders. Until then, my friends, stay hungry, focus on your goals, and keep grinding towards your dream of making billions.